often do your assumptions mislead you? You get pushback, the conversation becomes heated, and then you realize you misunderstood, you misjudged, you jumped to a false conclusion. And there was more to the situation than you noticed, if only you had realized. How much difficulty, time, relationship damage could have been avoided if...
Welcome to Conversations for Fearless Leaders. Do you avoid important conversations for fear of not saying it right? How comfortable are you to deal with difficult situations? What if, instead, you could approach any conversation with clarity and confidence?
We are Dale Loughlin of Trinidad and Tobago and Rhonda York of the United States. In Conversations for Fearless Leaders, we draw on our combined 40 years of experiences as professionally trained coaches, certified in conversational intelligence and team coaching.
So join us in this podcast series as we discuss your most challenging leadership situations with a deep multidisciplinary perspective. In each episode, we will share practical tools, tips, and steps for you to implement with confidence.
Let your journey with us awaken your inner courage to discover, experiment, and learn what it takes to become a fearless master of leadership conversations.
Right. If only you would stop to think, what's happening here? We get so wrapped up in conversations that we don't even realize when we get lost. So today we want to talk about the ladder of inference, sometimes called the ladder of conclusions, that we have a tendency to scurry up and down when we're in the middle of a conversation. The first ladder of inference was attributed to Chris Argyris, and that's Argyris. And this was included in the fifth discipline field book that was created by Peter Senge. So in today's podcast for Conversations for Fearless Leaders, Dale and I are exploring the ladder of inference, how it works, how to stay down on the lower rungs of the ladder until we can see more clearly, think about what's going on more deeply, and really understand more accurately before we react or respond. So let's stop a minute and just process how we make sense of the world when we're on this particular ladder. Something happens around us in a conversation, whether it's in the office, in a meeting, and we observe it. Then we select certain pieces of data, things that happen, things that were said that come through my thought process. Then without thinking about it, and instantly we add meaning to it. We make assumptions. It's got to be true because that's the way I see it, my perspective, my reality. And then immediately I make a conclusion, and all the things that have happened in my life before, today, yesterday, 10 years ago, help me to make sense of it through my own beliefs. And then I take action from all that. So that's what we mean when we talk about going up the ladder of inference. Crazy, right, Dale?
It's crazy and it's absolutely normal. It's what we do. It's how we make sense of the world. We create assumptions about how the world works. And we bring those assumptions into our analysis and our discovery of everything that happens. So that's why we all have biases, I suppose. And so we can't not have biases because we live from our assumptions. On the other hand, it's challenging, though, to open our minds to the fact that there may be more to the situation. There may be more than we are actually observing at any given time.
Well, and so listening to you say that, Dale, I can think of a situation, and this happened with one of my neighbors that had been fairly friendly, interactive with another neighbor in the neighborhood. And she mentioned she had tried to call her several times. She didn't return her call. And my neighbor expressed to me, she said, "I don't know what I did. I don't know why she would be mad at me. She hasn't been calling. You know, I've called to apologize for whatever I may have done." And I said, "Well, you don't really know that you did anything, do you?" And she said, "No, I can't think of a thing." I said, "Then why do you assume or infer that she's mad at you? Because she's not calling me back." So several weeks went by, and finally the neighbor did connect with her and said, "I'm really sorry that I didn't return any of your calls. I was really going through something, was feeling sort of depressed and didn't feel like talking to anybody." So that's a great example of where something happened. My neighbor took pieces of the data or the example of her not returning calls when they had connected with each other previously many times and quickly climbed the ladder to assume she must be mad at me for something and I don't know what it is. And that wasn't the case at all. So that's what I think, Dale, is a good example of how we so quickly in everyday life go up that ladder and not even realize we're on it and can really make some false assumptions because it's out of our interpretation when we're on the top of that ladder that we respond, react, communicate with those around us from what we believe to be true.
Is what's so incredible really is how fast we scurry up that ladder, how fast we get to the point where we are taking action, only to realize, as your neighbor did in the end, that the assumption, the conclusion, and the belief were wrong. And how often does that happen? In the workplace?
Probably daily. Yeah, multiple times a day.
Yeah, because remember, we're using this ladder of inference all the time. I don't think that's how we interpret and make sense of the world. So we're using it all of the time. Now, the thing is to be aware of the ladder of inference. And I think that once we learn that the ladder of inference exists and we learn how it works, then the next step is to become aware of it as we go through our normal day, as we navigate our conversations, as we interact with people, as we communicate with them, as we make decisions. One of the things I reflected on, it's really also a great tool. So, for example, when someone may be presenting to you as a leader a report that they have generated, you can actually use the rungs of the ladder of inference to talk with the person about what was the data on which you based your recommending this action. Let's go back to the beginning. What was the data that you used? Where did you source that data? What were the things you paid attention to? What were the facts that you paid attention to? As you paid attention to those facts, what assumptions did you make? And how did you get to those assumptions? So that you actually can use the ladder of inference to walk through a report that may have been generated, a proposal that may have been made, whether it's documented or not, you can actually use the ladder of inference to improve or enhance the quality of the conversation. So we can use it in two ways. We can use it with ourselves to be aware when we're running up the ladder and when we may be getting ourselves into trouble unnecessarily. But we also can use it with others to enhance the quality of the conversation and it ultimately to enhance the quality of the decision that comes out of the conversation.
No, I think that's great. And as I was listening to you, something else came to mind when I think of some other situations that I've been involved with is if we've had an interaction with someone else previously, and this goes back to our old beliefs, our old ways, or how we interpret information or things that happen. If it wasn't positive, I think we have a tendency to assume that almost everything that person says or does is coming from that same thought process. So if someone irritated me a while back on a certain project or situation, I haven't really let go of that. And so I think that when I'm adding the meaning and making my assumptions and conclusions, that may be part of my past and persuading or affecting my perception of what's going on. So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, so many times, and I know we've talked about this in other episodes, how we can all be in the same meeting or observe the same event, but come away with different interpretations. And I see that happen so many times. So what you're thinking or what you were just saying about what are the facts? What did we actually see or hear and really discuss it, not only asking of myself, but also of others, really can help get clarity and go down to the accuracy and help us from going up that ladder so quickly. Yeah. So, I think this is great, Dale.
When you think about it as well, the performance management process is ideal for using the ladder of inference in. And I think what we're positioning the ladder of inference here under as a tool that we can use as individuals, as leaders, to understand our thought process, to strive for accuracy, clarity, and that we can also use as a tool with others. Think of how you might use the ladder of inference in preparing for, within the performance management cycle, when you're preparing to give someone feedback about their performance. Starting with the data. Again, you can use it beautifully there. You may be going into a disciplinary interview. Again, you've got to start with the facts and you've got to be able to interrogate, as it were, your own thinking, your own thought process around what facts you are choosing, what facts are at the base of everything that you're inferring and ultimately of the action that you're taking.
Yes, I agree with what you just said, and it brought back a memory for me of an assumption I made. And this is a personal story of when my husband and I were outside of our home doing some yard work. And I was up on the ladder trimming some trees and bushes, and he was down on the ground doing something else. And I will confess here, I was not doing the best safety measures. But anyway, the ladder fell or I fell off the ladder, didn't get hurt, but I was laying on the ground and he turned around and looked at me and I thought, well, at least you could ask if I'm okay or come check on me, which he didn't. And so again, my assumptions, he doesn't care. He doesn't really love me. He's, you know, so stuck on himself, my story. Literally, I was on the ladder and fell off. But it wasn't until probably months later when I was relaying this story to someone else in front of him. And he went, I didn't know you fell. The neighbor across the street was cutting his grass and it was so loud. I just thought you were sitting on the ground taking a break. Yeah. So, personal story, but I quickly made my own assumption and had totally misread the data, what I observed, what I felt. And so that's why I'm saying, Dale, it's not just in the office, in a meeting or with colleagues. It happens all the time. I had a client that relayed to me that she was in a previous business partnership and something happened between the two partners and they broke up the business. And I mean, this had been several years ago and she was still lamenting over what happened. And then later on in another session, she came back to me and told me that she finally had a conversation with this person whom she had not talked to in a couple of years. And as they talked about the situation, she found out she had misinterpreted a conversation or what happened. And it's because they failed to have the conversation and ask questions like you and I talk about. We talk about double clicking. We're talking about checking the facts. We're talking about asking questions. Is this what you mean? Or what am I missing? Being open to influence. Tell me where you're coming from on this so that we can stop making the assumption that we're always right. And we do like to be right. So when we talk about being on the ladder and picking data to come up with our thoughts, we like to be right so much that we pick the facts, the data that contributes to making us right. And I think that, Dale, right there is something I would love to hear your perspective on, because I catch myself doing it and I see it happen so many times.
I think that what happens is that we go up the ladder and keep on going round and round, and it can become a very vicious circle where we keep on proving to ourselves, you see why I was right? She really was annoyed with me. I was right. She really is a complete non-performer. I was right. I can't trust her. And we keep on reinforcing to ourselves, keep on going back up that ladder, going back up the ladder. What we've got to be able to do is to understand that the ladder exists and be able to observe when it's happening, when we're using that ladder, and before we take the action, even if it is just in the moment, to be able to say, hold your horses, let me just check. And you know, sometimes, Rhonda, there's a little voice that says something on the inside. There's a little something, a feeling that says, I wonder if I should look at this again. And I think that when we hear those voices or we get that sense, we really should look at it again. Because let's understand that we will never see everything that there is to be seen. But there may be in interrogating ourselves, in asking ourselves, well, what am I looking at here? What else may there be that I need to look at, that we do uncover something that we missed that is vital to the assumption, the conclusion, the belief, and the action that will result from it? And if we can catch that and make that loop before we take the action, then it might prevent a destruction to a relationship. It might prevent a mistake that we have to then spend a lot of time trying to make good.
Right, to repair it. And two things that stood out to me is, one, the question asking myself, what might I be missing? And even if you do, okay, time out, stop. If you become self-aware, and you and I have talked about self-awareness and how important it is, if you can feel yourself really being either irritated or not liking what's going on or feeling the confusion, be self-aware to stop, which is what you're saying, and ask myself, what might I be missing? What's really going on here? What possibly do I not know? Because that can prevent those awkward situations, conversations, damage of relationship. And just recently, last week, I had a coaching session with a client talking about one of their colleagues and something, their behavior and what they didn't like about it and how they could act the way that they were acting. And as we talked, and this leader had conversations with other people, this leader realized, maybe I don't know all the facts. Maybe this person doesn't know what the process is, because a process has never been put in place. Maybe this person hasn't been told, here's the direction this type of thing goes in. So once we had that discussion in our coaching session, this leader, before going to that person and attacking them for what they perceived to have been wrong, this leader decided, I need to ask questions first, find out what those answers are, then proceed to give my directions, suggestions. So had that conversation not happened, there's a relationship that could have been damaged very quickly because of the assumption of what this leader thought without getting more details first.
Here's another thought. We've talked in the past, in past podcasts, about the importance of building your support network.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not a critically urgent scenario, then why are you rushing to take action? And I have a thought here. That may be as simple as an email or an answer to a WhatsApp message that you've received. Do you have to answer right away and check yourself before you answer? Because your conclusions may be wrong. In your support,
that's a really easy place, is when we interpret a text or an email message, because therefore, again, we're bringing past thoughts, actions, happenings into the process of determining what this message really means. And so we're putting our own interpretation on that text or email. And again, if you feel yourself going up the ladder or things are tightening up in your body, please have the conversation.
Yeah, have the conversation with yourself. Dale, what's going on here? I mean, really, do you need to write this response now? Perhaps just put it in your drafts and think about this a little more. And this is the other point I was going to make. In your network, in your support ecosystem, there are going to be people who you can reach out to. Reach out. Bounce what you are thinking and assuming and concluding and the action you're proposing to take off of them. Encourage them to ask you, what's the data you're basing all of this on? I mean, a simpler question is, how do you know this? How do you know it? How are you absolutely sure of it? It's a great question to ask. Or alternatively, you may be in a meeting and you may find yourself going up the ladder of inference. You may be in a conversation and you find yourself perhaps getting a little heated. And there's nothing wrong in, actually, there's everything right about saying to the other person, well, this is how I'm thinking, this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm thinking right now. What am I missing about what you're saying? And give them the opportunity to say, to set you straight. Give them the opportunity to provide you with additional data that you can use, out of which you might, in fact, reframe what you had been thinking in reacting to them, so that you understand the situation more clearly and more completely, and out of which has emerged now a richer conversation and a better decision.
No, I think that's great. And I've had people do that to me before also, when I've sent an email and I was trying to be very intentional and really choose my words. But after I sent the email, the person called me almost immediately and asked, is this what you mean? So that's exactly what you're saying. Here's how I interpret this. Is this what you mean by this email, this letter, this comment? And that really stops us from assuming that what we think is right is to ask that person. And I'm all about not settling something like this through email or text, because again, we are left to put our own interpretation and tone on the message, and that may not be correct and how the person meant it. So it's much better to ask than assume.
I'm just thinking of a quick situation here. Someone I was coaching a couple of weeks ago had received an email from his boss. They had been having conversations. The boss asked a question in terms of whether the direct report was enjoying his job and was feeling fulfilled in the job. And the reaction from the direct report who was talking to me was all about, well, why wouldn't I be? What's my boss thinking? And was going up a whole ladder of inference. Now, fear then became activated and he was wondering, but why is he asking me that? And I better just write. I encouraged him. I said, stop. Think it through. And in any case, after he thought it through and he decided, it was both a question of, do I respond straight away? And what do I say in that response? How much information do I give? I said, and so one of the questions was really, do you want to write that? Or do you want to have a chat with your boss, a conversation with your boss, where you can navigate in the moment with your boss? Rather than writing this, because there's so much more that could be misinterpreted. Well, in the end, keep it short and sweet, was what he decided to do. There was a conversation. The conversation went well. And a couple of weeks after, they were back to trust. Because what had really happened was that trust had been damaged in the relationship. And I think that one of the things about the ladder of inference we really need to understand is how typically when we're wrong, what's happening is that it's fueled by fear, and what results is an action that destroys or reduces trust. And that is what interferes with the relationship. And that then is what makes navigating going forward even more difficult.
Exactly. The other thing I bet happens in that situation that you just talked about was if this person had made their own conclusion, their inference of why the boss was asking that, then all his actions moving forward would be coming from that place. His responses would be coming from that inference, that assumption. And the thing that he's most afraid of could end up happening because that's how he's acting. And I've had another client that was in a very similar situation by a question that was asked to him and assumed that they were going to be let go, to the point that this person started clearing the things off their wall. And the behavior came to the point that they started acting like they were going to be let go, and eventually they did get let go. So please, listeners, ask the question. But I like what you said, Dale. Have the conversation, because then you can pick up on the tone, the body language, and have a better chance to ask questions than assume that what you're thinking is the right thing.
So let's end this podcast, Rhonda, with a challenge to our fearless leaders who are listening. It's a challenge to improve the quality of your conversations, to observe yourself and observe others. Identify when, figure out when you're jumping to those conclusions, when you're rushing to that judgment, when you're scurrying up the ladder. Take the time to pause. Come back down to the bottom. Try to stay at those bottom rungs for a while. What's the data? What else might there be here that I'm not seeing? Just talk it through with yourself or with each other. Reach out for support if you need to. And actually, you can reach out to us to share your questions and experiences. And Rhonda will tell you where you can find us.
Yes, you can find us at www.conversationsforfearlessleaders.com. And if you would like us to talk about something else on this podcast, please let us know. And if you're interested in a copy of the Ladder of Inference and more details, you can find us there. Thanks for joining us.